In this day and age, athletic competitions are frequently filled with participation trophies and everybody's a winner mentalities and mantras. And I personally like to take the approach of this anonymous person who once said, if you can't beat them, cheat. I'm Ethan Chadwick, and this is the Woke Report.
Shut up and sit down.
In a world where fake news has been attacked and debunked, two men bravely walk into the deep end.
Oh, it's cold.
Something touched my foot.
Oh, stop splashing me. Oh.
This is The Woke Report. Everything on this program is purely satire. Adult language may be used. Viewer discretion is advised. Welcome into the Woke Report. I am Ethan Chadwick. With me, as always, is the undeniably fat Evan Hall. Our top story today comes to us from NASA. NASA recently launched an octopus into space with a trajectory to land on Venus, and it, in fact, landed on there just this last week. NASA remotely opened the capsule that contained the octopus, and it promptly died of heat stroke. We actually have with us, joining us today, a NASA superfan, and his name is Kyle, and he is here in the studio with us to kind of give his take on the issue as well as other broad, you know, NASA questions that we may have. Kyle, how are you?
I'm good, guys.
All right, and Kyle, I mean, we just obviously just talked about how NASA sent an octopus to Venus,
It
quickly died.
So cool.
Do you have more that you want to comment on with that?
This is, you know, pioneering in space exploration, and finally someone sent an octopus into space. I mean, I've been suggesting that for years, and finally did it. Welcome to the 21st century, NASA.
Yeah, definitely. And so I guess, how do you feel about the overall trajectory of what NASA is doing with their funding and with their programs? Can you kind of give us your take on it, being such a super fan?
Well, an octopus, or the plural octopi, is the perfect candidate to go into space exploration. You got like eight arms. All the research you can do with eight arms in space, too. I mean, it's...
Technically, yeah. Speaking, octopus, plural, is octopuses. It is not actually Latin, which you would have had the octopi, but it is not Latin, so thus it is octopuses. So, I actually believed that for a while myself, but I guess the important part about it is that they are similar to squids.
Now, wouldn't it be cool, though, if NASA sent a bunch of octopi into space, and then they fought aliens?
That would
be awesome.
That would indeed be cool. Maybe you could talk to Michael Bay about it. It sounds like something he would be interested in doing.
NASA's
for a movie.
So cool.
Yeah, they are. How do you feel about, you know, NASA's involvement with other areas of science, such as with global warming and, you know, other areas that don't necessarily pertain to the exploration of space?
Octopi would totally beat squids in surviving out in space. Clearly.
Where is your kind of data to back that up?
Squids are wussies. Octopi would totally beat the crap out of squids if this was a contest of surviving in space.
Are we talking about...
That octopi survived like 5 minutes on that planet.
Are we...
Which is a lot longer than squids.
Are we talking about regular squids or giant squids?
Any squid.
All right, which would you rather fight?
Ugh. In space, regular squids.
All right, Kyle. Well, thank you for coming in. We are going to move on. We hope you have a good one. And we're not going to bring in our good dear friend, Evan, to do his segment, By the Numbers.
Welcome to By the Numbers. I'm your host, Evan Hall, bringing you stats and figures
to revolutionize your life. Well, we've all been there. Late night television, infomercial comes on, and we all think, what would happen if we bought that product? Well, I'm here to talk to you today a little bit about sales as it pertains to late night TV ads. Latest figures show that $450 million has been spent so far on Snuggies, proving the old saying that money can buy you happiness. Moving on, $40 million in sales has gone to the infamous Shake Weights, sold since 2010. Although, trying to explain away the scarring of your neighbor's kids after they catch you using a Shake Weight, priceless. And our last figure is 30 days, and that's how long I have to send back my Shake Weight and still get a full refund. I'm Evan Hall, and this has been By the Numbers.
This is The Small Picture. Thank you for joining me here for The Small Picture. I'm Ethan Chadwick, your host, and today got a few different topics that I want to talk to you guys about that maybe you hadn't considered. You know, most people, they don't think about seed beetles. And, you know, I feel like they need to get a little bit more love because, you know, seed beetles, they're a perfect representation of how human life works. Because did you know that male seed beetles will chase females for minutes on end in order to mate with them, and the females will avoid it? And when the females can't, or the females get away, the males will just bang each other. Next up, salmon. Yeah, the color salmon. You realize that we know that we have the color salmon because that's what their insides look like? I mean, can you imagine if we would have to start calling salmon green if we found green on the inside of salmon, the fish? Didn't think about that, did you? Last up, the ferocious Yeti. Now, these guys live in Arctic areas, and they have their white fur and constantly getting forgotten about because everyone is so interested in their cousin Sasquatch, who doesn't even bother to let anyone take a picture, whereas the Yeti just hanging out together up in the cold, and everyone's just too big of a wuss to go and visit them. And, you know, looking around, they could easily support their families if you would just, you know, provide them with some money from tourists. You know, just pay them a few bucks. They'll take a picture with you. They want to provide for their families, and you're just being a dick, and you're not allowing them to support their families, and so they're dying. They're dying. Did you ever think about that? I doubt it.
Science Corner
with Forks and Spoons.
All right, today on Science Corner, we've got our good friends Forks and Spoons here in the studio, and we'll let them introduce what they're going to talk about. Turn that over to Mr. Spoons.
It's Dr. Spoons McGee, but, well, that...
You just show me an actual degree, and we'll go from there.
You just need to take somebody's word for it, buddy. We were university-tenured faculty until anti-science bigots...
Oh, bloody hell.
Drove
us... Are we
really
going to get into this again?
Okay, fine. We won't. We won't.
Let's just not.
Fine. What?
Let's not.
Fine. I'll tell them what we're working on, since they don't think we're actual scientists, or they refuse to call us doctor, or at least me doctor, apparently. Point is, our research that we've been doing lately has been an experimental procedure to allow humans to unhinge their jaw like snakes when eating. Which is really cool when you think about it, because like we've all been at a Thanksgiving or any sort of cookout, we're like, you know what, maybe I want a bratwurst and a hot dog at the same time. And, you know, wouldn't it be awesome just bloop, unhinge the jaw and take it all in?
Yes, indeed. And we're making great strides in this field and making lots of, you know, great discoveries, and really expanding what the human body is capable of doing. And we've had a few successes already of people able to unhinge their jaws. Yeah, we'll leave it at that. But they were able to fit more into their mouth at once.
Dr. Forex, this seems like a very dangerous procedure to mess with the human body like this. You say there's been some success. What have the failures been like?
Well, I don't believe I said that there were failures.
Well, surely someone was injured trying to unhinge their own jaw.
Well, I mean, you're misunderstanding, because we're not actually letting them unhinge their own jaws. We're doing it for them. But don't worry. We had everyone sign a waiver that any physical pain or damage that was caused by the experiment, they were taking on the responsibility of that, so we can't be have charges pressed against us. And yes, I mean, it's been good.
They knew the risks for science, really.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Especially the seven people that didn't make it. They knew what they were getting into. So they can't complain.
Yeah, and you know poor Timmy as well. I mean, he's never going to use his mouth again for anything other than, you know, kind of an ornament, I guess. Something to look at. It's just kind of hanging there all haphazardly. And he's going to have to be eating through a straw the rest of his life.
Look, science comes with risks. There's no breakthrough unless you really stick your neck out there, or your jaw in this case, and take one for the team.
Yeah, and like, I mean, I've got to be honest. I mean, we did give them a waiver, but I mean, it's not our fault if they didn't read through the fine print that you had to use an electron microscope to see. So, yeah, I mean, if they didn't do it, it's on them. That's all I got to say. They didn't read through it. I mean, they've attempted to sue us a couple times, but we did show them the fine print with their signature on it. It did say, you know, there is a chance of, you know, severe injury or death, and you're taking upon yourself the responsibility for any of these potential outcomes. And
don't let the flat earthers tell you otherwise, because this is actually freaking cool. This is science being cool science, and it clearly works. The experimental procedure has seen so many great results.
Yeah, science has proven, one assumes, that, you know, you can theoretically do anything with the human body, and we are just expanding that. I mean, we're also hopefully going to get a grant later this month to study the way to get humans to actually fly without using any kind of a apparatus. The human body has been proven time and time again to be able to adapt to any circumstance. Science has proven that, one assumes.
Now, Forks and Spoons, gotta say, I'm still a little bit skeptical about this, because you're really pushing the boundaries of the human body past where I think they can really go. So this question is still burning in my mind even after this presentation. Forks and Spoons, are those your real names?
Wow.
This again. I thought we had moved past this. It seems that we haven't moved past this.
Yeah.
And I'm just gonna lose it. I almost just lost it just now through the chair. I can't believe that you would bring this up yet again.
Absolutely incredible. We are sitting here talking about a boundary-breaking scientific breakthrough, and you're sitting here asking us if these are our real names. First off, I'm a doctor. So let's get that thing straight. And second off, you're making my distinguished colleague very pissed off. Why are we singled out for this terrible treatment? We are distinguished scholars in our field.
Is Forks... Is he banging his head against the wall over there?
You know, we're distinguished scientists, and you know what? We're all dealing with anger in our own way. And so, yes, he is banging his head. That is pure frustration. That is him trying to contain himself. This is a man who has taught for years at the university level, say with me, and we're just tired of this sort of anti-science attitude we're getting here. I mean, do you ever question your other guests about their names?
Well, they don't usually
unprofessional
have strange names such as your own.
Oh, strange.
Yes,
strange. We're going to get into that territory now.
Yeah, we're going to get into that territory. We're going to get into that.
Put up your privilege blinkers here, folks. We're getting into the weird factor. Does it gross you out? There is a strong, healthy, professional, totally platonic relationship between two scientists, and they happen to have interesting names.
We're going to move on from this because obviously this is going to go nowhere today. But
damn,
we want to thank Forks and Spoons for joining us here on the Science Corner. We turn now to our next guest who's joining us. So it's actually an up-and-coming author, and his name is Robert Zachfield, and he wrote a self-help book, and he's here to tell us a little bit about it. So, Robert, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much for having me. It is a pleasure for me to be able to share my book with you today.
All right. Well, tell us a little bit about your book.
Well, my book is entitled You Too Can Achieve Inner Peace, and I wrote this book after basically finding my own personal nirvana and wanting to share it with the rest of the world. I find it to be my personal mission.
All right. And so, I mean, I guess, what are kind of some highlights from this book that, you know, maybe our listeners would be interested in hearing about?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Well, I break my method down to finding your inner peace into three easy steps. First is the inner isolation, isolating yourself from within, from all sorts of distractions and things that keep you on the lower level of personal enlightenment. For instance, to begin achieving this stage, you should maybe, I don't know, zone out your family during family meals and create a mental barrier between you and members of your family. Our second step that is on the pathway to enlightenment is physical isolation. You must physically move all the bad karma out of your life, say, taking your children out to the woods and leaving them there, thereby allowing you to finally break free to find your own inner peace. Now, my final really big theme in the book, as I've explored, is also finding your true identity or unleashing your potential. So, for instance, a mild manner inner peace guru from Cincinnati, taking all these steps, could someday reinvent himself as Sir Bongo of the House of Björn, living in his own commune as the master of the colony. But the point is that this is a book that is supposed to bring us inner peace in an age of uncertainty and technological change.
Sounds weird as shit, bro. Not gonna lie, sounds weird as shit.
It is a path to inner peace. It doesn't have to be normal.
Well, fair enough. Well, where can people find your book if they so desire to?
They can find the book and other Robert Zachfield Inner Peace products at robbieszachattack.com or at my Shangri-La Palace on the outskirts of Cincinnati.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us, Zach, and we wish you the best with your book. And, some people will want to buy that weird shit.
These are troubling times, and so maybe some spiritual guidance is needed in today's world.
It's quite possible. I don't know that that's the guidance you want, but, I mean, we want to thank you for coming on all the same. Our next story comes to us from back here in America. Someone who was particularly prominent up until recently has kind of undergone a big change, I would say. And that, of course, would be former President Barack Obama has now changed his name to Garfunkel, no last name. And he now insists that everyone calls him the Fonz. I'm pretty sure that's copyright infringement, but who am I to argue with a former president?
Well, every president deals with the post-presidency in their own way, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, so. I would assume so.
Yeah. Well, our next story comes from the financial world, where cottage cheese stocks have fallen to their lowest market value in 29 years, sending the New York Stock Exchange into a panic and briefly threatening another recession on the country.
Such a damn shame. I mean, I know that, you know, a lot of people aren't buying cottage cheese like they used to, but I know for me myself, I'm going to go out and get some cottage cheese tonight.
Well, as a financial investor myself, I am worried what this will do to the rubber chicken market.
Indeed. Next up, we have another story coming to us. This is once again back in Central Park, New York. And we have out on the scene Mickey and Craig, who apparently are interacting with... There is a cat in a tree that is apparently making some demands before it will come down. We're going to go out to the scene for more on that. Mickey?
Hello, everyone back in the studio. We are here. It is a day 3. Squiggles the cat has been in this tree, as I've said, for about 3 days now. He has finally released a list of his demands that I was the first to recover. And hopefully, if Craig can point the mic correctly this time, our viewers, our listeners may be able to hear what the cat is demanding.
Are you kidding me, dude?
Well, I'm just want us to be prepared. I've tried having patience.
They can definitely hear us right now. Just do your story.
Well, that's a relief.
Just do your story.
That's a relief, Craig.
Just do your story.
That's a relief. Anywho.
Just do your story.
As I was trying to say, Squiggles the cat has released a series of demands, including a helicopter to Cuba, 10,000 pounds of gold, and all the free catnip for life.
This has gone on long enough.
What are you talking about? I'm conducting a story here. Why do you have to interrupt me?
You're making shit up, dude.
No, I'm not.
You're making shit up. You're literally making shit up.
These are Squiggles' demands, and I think it's important that the public know this.
Okay, once again, you cannot talk to animals.
We don't know
understand animals.
We don't know how long Squiggles the cat could be in this tree.
That cat climbed up in the tree half an hour ago.
No, he didn't. That was 3 days ago.
We were here.
No, we weren't.
We have video footage of the cat climbing up into the tree half an hour ago.
I doubt it, because it is day 3 of this ordeal, and we're just now finally getting demands, and I think it's good
that
we're
not worried about your sexual problems, dude.
That's not
even
anything.
We're talking about a cat that climbed up in the tree half an hour ago.
A cat with demands. A cat with demands. Like a helicopter to Cuba.
Demands.
Viva Cuba Libre is what the cat was telling me earlier. Clearly a fan of Fidel Castro, but wants to make an escape.
So now the cat speaks Spanish.
I don't know that. He just talked to me. I don't know what language it was in cat. He was like, meow, meow, meow. And I was like, meow, 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 meow. And meow, meow, meow. And that's how I learned he wants a helicopter to Cuba, 10,000 pounds of gold, and free catnip for life. So the real question is, how will the authorities respond to such demands? I'm not mental. I'm a journalist. I'm a journalist. I'm out here doing my job.
Yeah, show me one thing that was journalistic that you ever did.
I don't know. We have to find the one story you didn't screw up with your shitty recording skills.
Oh, I've recorded everything, bro.
Oh, really? Have you now?
Oh, I've recorded everything.
Well, I bet. You need to let me do my professional job. We have talked about this numerous times.
We've talked about how unprofessional you are.
I'm the unprofessional one. Oh, I'm the unprofessional one. That's really rich coming from a guy who I have to tell where to point the mic every time we go out onto the scene.
See, you don't have to tell me where to put the mic. I already have the mic pointed where you're saying to put it.
People love animal stories, and it's hard to do that when the mic is all out of focus.
You are an asshole, dude.
Oh, I'm that. Oh, well, that's really rich. That's insane. That's really insane. I think you're insane. You're talking about how I'm mental.
You think I'm insane?
Yes, I think you're
insane. You're the one that thinks you can talk to animals.
I can talk to animals. It's been proven before.
Okay, Dr. Doolittle.
Oh, wow. Wow, we're going to go the mature route, apparently.
You know it all about not going the mature route, don't you?
Oh, no, I know about going the professional journalistic route.
Yeah, how's Connie doing, huh?
What does that even mean?
How's Connie doing?
Well, that's ridiculous. I don't even know what that means.
Oh, whatever. You know Connie's your wife's name. Don't pretend like you don't.
We are here to talk about a cat, and yet you want to drag up personal problems that have nothing to do with what this cat wants. See, the cat is scared. You're scaring the cat.
Yeah, you remember when Connie canceled your guys' plans for tonight?
Scaring the cat. Don't bring that up.
You know why she canceled your plans?
I will not cry again.
She and I are going to go hang out.
That's stupid. That would never
happen. Bowling alley.
That's garbage. Wow, the bowling alley. Really? Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Anyway, point is...
The point is your wife is going to leave you because you're crazy.
I'm not crazy. I just have a gift.
Okay, how many voices are talking in your head right now?
None, because the cat isn't talking. And he wouldn't be in my head anyway. You're scaring the cat, for one thing. I'm trying to give an interview.
The cat is literally asleep.
It's not asleep.
It's literally asleep.
It is cowering in fear because the intrusive Mike bastard keeps pointing it the wrong way at the cat.
It's literally asleep.
The cat is waiting for its demands to be met by the New York City authorities, which, as I've said before, is a helicopter, 10,000 pounds of gold, and catnip. I don't see what's so complicated about that, and yet you want to bring in personal
issues. I can understand
issues.
Why you want the helicopter to Cuba and all the gold.
You always
but why do you want the catnip?
I don't want any of those things. Those are things that Squiggles the cat wants.
No, this is clearly what you want.
No,
because
it's what Squiggles the
cat
wants.
The cat can't speak. The cat
yes, it
doesn't
does.
Give
it,
a shit.
Well, clearly
it's been
made a list
up
of
in
demands.
The tree. For
clearly.
Half an hour, that's it. It's taking a nap.
It's not taking
You're the
a
one
nap.
That's climbing up in a tree,
it
making
is waiting,
up bullshit.
It is waiting for its...
Saying that the cat's saying stuff.
Waiting for its demands to be met.
Demanding things.
Waiting for its demands to be met is what the cat is doing.
Mickey, enough of this. I mean, you're the one that's been up there for 3 days.
Yeah, trying to get the lowdown on what's going down in Central Park.
The cat has been up there for half an hour.
No, it's been up there for 3 days.
No, you've been up there for 3 days.
He's been listing
the
demands
for 3 days.
The cat
has been up there for half an hour.
No, it hasn't. This cat is clearly some sort of international espionage thing demanding from the government these demands.
What are you talking about?
Well, the demands I've just listed.
You really think that a cat is a spy?
You're the
Does
mic.
Does a cat even know what a helicopter is?
You're the mic person. You
Why would
heard
a cat
him.
Need gold?
I don't know what...
The only thing that makes even a remote sense is catnip. But A, how would a cat ask for catnip when no one can understand what the hell a cat is saying? And B, why do you think you can talk to cats?
No, you can't understand a cat. First
also,
off,
on top of that, why would anybody care if the cat comes down other than maybe its family? Why would anyone cave to these demands? Mickey, if you want a helicopter and you want all this gold, you're going to have to come up with a better method to do it.
Well, that's just garbage, because it's the cat's demands.
That I'm turning off the mic. I'm turning it off.
Wow, you're really going
to... To which Rhonda responded, I only go down on my knees for one man.
What?
welcome back to the Woke Report. Well, we are going to go now to our last door. We actually have a follow-up interview with Brett Richards and a New England Patriots fan, given that the Patriots were able to come back from the largest deficit in Super Bowl history and also win...
Instant classic of a
yeah,
game.
And also win the first overtime game in Super Bowl history, so... A lot of good stuff right there. So we're going to turn it over to Brett Richards. Brett? Yeah, thank you for passing that over to me. I'm once again here with this douchebag Patriots fan. How are you doing today, sir?
Awesome! Best team of all time. Clearly, Tom Brady is the greatest to ever put on cleats and a helmet. Patriots are the greatest team to ever exist in the history of the planet.
Apart from Tom Brady, who do you think kind of had the biggest impact for the Patriots in that game?
It doesn't even matter because everybody was hating on Tom Brady, and Brady led them back from like a bazillion points down to win the game. Debate is over. The greatest of all time, 5 Super Bowl rings, and just like haters gonna hate, man. Haters are going to continue to hate on a team that is clearly the greatest thing to ever walk the face of the earth.
Where would you, how would you grade James White's performance in this game?
It was, I guess, but the point being is that, like, this is probably the greatest Super Bowl to ever exist in the history of the Super Bowl stuff. You know, it's just... It's us real Patriots fans are clearly number one.
All right, I'm going to stop you right there. This is clearly going to go nowhere because this douchebag Patriots fan is a bandwagon fan who's only been rooting for the team more or less through the final results and what he's heard on the news. So we're going to send it back to
Garbage.
The studio to you guys. Thank you.
And then I was like, I don't know what's harder, this math final or your nipples.
Well, I mean, it was cold, so.
Freezing.
All right, well, thank you guys for tuning in here to the Woke Report. Sorry about the off-color jokes you may have heard. You can find us on Twitter at Woke Report. You can also turn in your ideas for stories that should be shared here on the Woke Report. You can email us, wokereport@gmail.com. You can also find myself, Ethan Chadwick, on Twitter at EthanChadwick15. And you can find Evan at EvanHall62. Thanks again for listening. Have a good one. And stay woke.
Shut up and sit down.